Hello, my name is Edgar King, and I am the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church, Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing.
Can you guys hear me? Hear me? Good. Can you hear me now? Is it better? Is it working? Oh, great. Wow. That was just amazing. I'm like a little bit shaky. God was just, it was just beautiful. And I just want to take this opportunity to honor the worship team, to honor our pastor who has this heart for worship, because this is why the presence of God crashes in like this. There's this anointing and it's stewarded so well. And I've learned so much about praise and worship since I've been here. And I'm just so grateful to everybody that has taught me and that has inspired me to worship more. It's just amazing, amazing. I want to invite us to another way that we can worship God. We can worship him through song. We can also worship him through giving. And we, in this season, we advise that if you can give online, you would do that by M-Pesa or also on the website. The M-Pesa till number is 193399. And this is a way that we train our hearts to trust God, to trust that we don't rely on our finances, we rely on God. And when we give to him, it's showing where we put our trust, and he's so faithful. And if you cannot give online, there should be a brown box available that you can put your cash into, and that's also very acceptable and honoring, so thank you. Yeah, I'm just want to just wait for a minute on what God's doing. I just feel very overcome by what he's doing. So if it's okay, we can just sit and just wait for a minute and just invite more of his presence. Let's just do that. Yeah, Jesus, you're so, so, so powerful. And it's like when we come into your presence, we are made whole. And it's such an amazing feeling, God, to be loved by you. God, thank you for your presence. Thank you. Thank you that you are enthroned on our praises. Thank you that when we praise you, you inhabit the places where we are in a deeper way. And we can be more aware of that. God, I thank you that you're with us always. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We are hungry and thirsty for more of your presence, God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Come and have your way. Amen. Okay. So today we're going to be starting a new series that is called Designed to Praise. Designed to Praise. And the previous two series that we've done, the first one was called Unchanging, like being anchored in the unchanging. I've written down unchanging God, but unchanging kingdom, unchanging love, all these different things that we learned about that are unchanging. And then we've been talking about who we are, I am. And we've been talking about that we are saved, that we are forgiven, that we are God's saints, that we are holy, that we are chosen. And last week we talked about that we are not ashamed. And it was a very, very powerful message on how we can come before God because he has chosen us and he has forgiven us. And we are righteous before him because we have accepted Jesus' sacrifice and we are not ashamed. And there was a lot of shame broken off of people, personally as well, a lot of shame that I didn't know I was carrying that was broken off me just through that word. And my prayer is that this series will tie those two things together, because we're going to be talking about how we were designed to praise God. God is unchanging, and he designed us, he made who we are to be people that praise him. And so there's a key verse that I want us to look at in this series, and it's in 1 Peter 2:9, and it says this: "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I'm going to read that again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And some of those words there are like royal priesthood. Priest is somebody who can come before God. And we now know that because we are saved, we can come before God. A holy nation, that's talking about the people of God, God's special possession. He's chosen us, we are his. We are his possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And that last line really hit me, that he's called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And in the world at the minute, I think darkness almost seems more obvious than ever. You can see things that are not in line with what we know God's kingdom is. You can see things that are hard. Suffering is deep. You know, there's a lot of things it's always been, but at least for me, it just feels like, gosh, there is a lot of darkness around us here. But it says that we have been chosen. We are God's possession. We have been chosen to declare the praises of him who called us out of that darkness and into his wonderful light. And I want us to look at what his wonderful light is and how our praises can bring that into more understanding to us, how we can know his light through our praises. We've been called to declare our praises. And when we've been called, and when God says we're his possession, he's designed us in a certain way. You know the word design, it's like when you make something, it's designed to do a certain thing. It's the way it works. And when it's doing what it's designed to do, it works well. I want to give an example. When I came to Africa, my friend, she brought a lot of children's toys, and one of them was a children's pram. Now, it wasn't for babies. It was for toy babies. So it was smaller. And it was very, very small, and we used it with some of the kids we were working with. And one day, somebody came and told us that it had broken. And we said, how could that break? It's a little doll's pram, how could it break? Well, one of the girls didn't know that it was for little dollies. She thought it was for her. She thought that she could get in it. So by getting into it, she didn't understand the design of the pram, and it broke. And sometimes I think our lives can be like that. We are designed to praise God. We are designed to glorify him. But it's so tempting when there's hard things for us to go, oh, I'm going to complain. Oh, I'm going to fear. Oh, I'm going to speak out what I'm feeling instead of speaking out his praise. And I don't know about you, but when I do that, generally it doesn't feel good. It's very easy to do because it's our human nature, but generally it doesn't feel good. It's not what we were designed to do. It's not who we were designed to be. And that's not condemnation. Of course, we're all on a journey and we're all going to be learning how to change our complaints to praise. But it's just to say that doesn't it feel good when we praise? Doesn't it feel good when we do what we are designed to do? When we do what we have been designed to do, when we give glory and praise to God, there's a fullness that comes into our hearts that changes the way we see everything because we're focusing on him who is seated on high, who is enthroned on high. And when we do what we're designed to do and praise him, it changes us and it changes the atmosphere. And it's because that is what God designed us to do and to be. Now, praise doesn't always mean singing. It's good if we sing, it's powerful, and there is a lot of praise in the Bible and just in the world in general that is singing. But it's not the only way that we can praise. Praise, the definition of praise, is to express warm approval or admiration for somebody. To express warm approval or admiration. And sometimes, you know, in Swahili we say, oh, anapenda sifa. You know, he likes when we say, oh, you're so good. People like that. It feels good, you know, when you're saying, you are good. It's pleasing to the person that you're talking about. And it shows that you praise them. And sometimes you can praise somebody without even saying that. Sometimes just the way you act shows that you're honoring a certain person, shows that you're honoring a certain place or a certain way. It shows that you're honoring them just by the way you act. So it's to express warm approval or admiration. The second definition for praise is to express one's respect and gratitude towards, in brackets, God or whoever, especially in song. So we can express our respect and gratitude, especially in song. So when we think of praise, we do think of song, but it's so much more than that. And that's what this series will be talking more about. Praise is as important in hard times as it is in good times. And one of the things we're going to talk about is a sacrifice of praise. We're going to talk about how sometimes praise has to be a sacrifice. Sometimes the last thing we feel is to praise God. But even this morning we were singing about Blessed Be Your Name. And that song is taken from the story of Job in the Bible. And he had everything taken away from him, but his sacrifice was praise. He praised God. He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," even in all his suffering and what he was going through. So whatever season you're in, trust me, this is for you, and I believe it's going to help all of us in this season. When we praise, there's this atmosphere that can come in that can just blow our minds, a bit like what happened this morning, where God's presence can just crash in such a deep way. And I was thinking about it this morning and thinking, how do I talk about that, God? How do I talk about when your presence comes in? Because we know you're with us all the time. And I felt like he said, it's like you're more aware. When you become aware, you can feel it more. I'm always there, but when you praise me, you feel it more. And you feel like I'm coming and I'm moving and I am. And the Bible in Psalm 22, verse 3, is this verse that I love. It says, "Yet you are holy," which is what we were singing about this morning. You are holy, talking about God, enthroned on the praises of Israel. So Israel is like God's people. That's all of us. Israel in the Bible is what they use to talk about God's people, Israel. And you are holy. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel. And that means that when we praise, it's like God comes and like sits on our praises, you know? Like we are praising God and he is enthroned on our praises. He is so happy to be sitting with us, to be with us, to be lifted high. He loves it because that's what's happening in heaven all the time is the angels, the saints, everyone is praising God. They're praising God. When we read about heaven in the Bible, it talks about praise, praise, holy, holy, holy is he. And he's seated on a throne. And when we praise, we can praise the one who is seated on that throne and we can experience his power and his glory and his love. And if you've ever experienced that, it's one of the most powerful feelings to know that the presence of God is so strong among you. And that's something that comes from either just speaking praise and especially when we sing praise. So we're going to look at a couple of examples in the Bible of people who learned how to praise. Learned how to glorify God, learned where to put their focus. And the first person we're going to look at is a guy called Peter. And Peter was a friend of Jesus. He was one of the disciples, one of the followers chosen by Jesus. And when he was chosen, he started to understand who Jesus was. He started to understand that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was powerful. Jesus was loving. Jesus was forgiving. Jesus had the ability to move mountains and to fulfill him. And that's why he followed him. He left everything he had and followed him because he sensed the fullness of Jesus. And we're going to look at a story where Jesus told his disciples to go out on the boat. Probably many of us know this story. I know my friend Shanti knows this story and has told it to me many times when I've needed encouragement. So thank you. The ocean was just still, and Jesus had told his disciples, out you go on the boat, and you're going to go across to the other side. And Peter knew Jesus, so he would have been thinking, okay, if Jesus tells me to go out on the boat like this, it's going to be okay. You know, he's told us to go there. I wonder what's on the other side. I wonder what's going to happen. You know, if Jesus is telling us to do something, this is exciting. It's going to be good. So Jesus left his disciples like that, and they went out in the boat, and Jesus went up onto a hill to pray. We read in the Bible Jesus often did that to gain more intimacy with his Father, to hear what his Father is saying. And I'd love to know what happened in those times. I'd love to know what Jesus was praying about, what he saw in the world, how he related to God. But we don't know that. But we do know what happened next. So they're out on the boat, and suddenly there's this storm comes on the sea, and the waves are rocking, and the boat is rocking. And they begin to think, like, we're going to drown. Like, they were beginning to say to each other, what's happening here? Jesus told us to come here, but yet there's this storm. The sea is rocking. Everything is happening. And they were afraid, and they couldn't see Jesus anywhere. And I think that's some of the situations we can find ourselves in. We go, I believe God told me to do that. I believe God told me this is going to happen. I believe that I should do this. You know, it doesn't have to be like feeling like God audibly tells us. Sometimes we just feel we should do something, and that's God's prompt and nudge. And they were going, why is this happening? Like we maybe do. Now, God told me to do this, but look, we could drown, we could sink. Why would this be happening? And so we're going to read Peter's response. And what we're going to do is read it through, and then we're going to look into it more deeply. So in Matthew 14, 25 to 33, it says, so they're out on the boat and there's the storm. And it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Walking on the lake. Like, what? When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They said, it's a ghost, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. So, and this is Peter. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Okay, so I'm going to try and act this out a little bit. I'm going to try and be Peter, okay? So I'm in the boat. It's swishing. I'm not going to do too much of that. But it's swishing. It's rocking. And something that looks like it could be Jesus is over there. So if we can imagine, we're in worship, and we're choosing to worship God, and we're confused about our life. We're in a situation we don't understand, but we're seeing something. We're like, I think you might be here, God. I'm in church, and I think you might be here. And I don't know who that is. I don't know. It doesn't really look like you. It looks more like a ghost, but you're saying it's you. So I'm going to choose to look at you, and I'm going to choose to ask you, do you want me to come? And that's the first step of praise. It's obedience. We're being obedient to say, God, we are going to praise you. We believe you are here, and we are going to praise you. So Peter's looking, and he goes, is it you? And then he gets this sense. He hears Jesus speak, and we can get senses, hear lots of different things. And it's like, yes, it's me, come. So Peter steps out of the boat. Notice how instant he is. Yes, it's me, come. And he's so desperate. His obedience is there. He's like, yes, I want to praise you, so I'm going to step out. I'm going to step out of the boat. And then suddenly he finds himself walking on water. Now, I mean, that doesn't work. You know, if you've tried and it's worked, tell me. But for me, it hasn't worked. You know, you're walking on water. Water, you can't walk on water. You can't. But Peter was walking on water. But do you know why he was walking on water at that time? because his focus was on Jesus. Jesus looks a lot like a speaker to me at the minute, but his focus was Jesus. His focus was, there is Jesus, so I am going to be obedient, and I'm going to keep my focus there. I'm going to focus on Jesus. And he's praising him, and he's adoring him, and he's looking at him, and he is the one he's looking at. He's not looking at the waves. He's not looking at his friends, because they think he's crazy. He's looking at Jesus, and he's praising him with his actions. He's praising him. He's doing what he was designed to do. And when he does what he was designed to do, he can do the impossible. When he does what he was designed to do, he can actually walk through any situation, even a storm walking on waves. You know, it doesn't say that the storm had stopped at that time. So I think sometimes we picture it's a smooth lake and he's walking. It's a stormy lake. You know, he's walking on waves. He's walking on just loads of different swishes and barriers and different things. And he's walking. I didn't find the right words there. Splashes, that's the word. He's walking out and he's like, and he's going and he's going and he's going and he's going. And I'm going to, he's skipping past things like this. And he's going and he's going and he's going towards Jesus. And then he suddenly sees Jesus and he says, oh, and it almost becomes too much for him, and he looks down. And when he looks down, he sees he's walking on a storm. He's walking on a stormy sea. He's walking on the ocean, and he says, I can't do this. And what happens? He starts to sink. And I think that can happen to us in worship and in our lives in general, but I want to talk about in worship. You can be worshiping, and then something comes into your mind, or somebody does something, or maybe you just get confused, and you suddenly feel like, oh, I don't know what I was thinking. That can't be Jesus. And you sink, and you doubt, and you fall, and you feel like you lose your way. But you're actually not falling, because your focus was on Jesus. And we are not ashamed, even when we seem like we're slipping or we're falling, because we look away. Our eyes are on Jesus, and he has already saved us. He has already chosen us. So even in that time, what does Jesus do? He reaches out, and he picks you up. And we are not ashamed. Peter didn't carry that shame. He was picked straight back up, like that. The instant of his obedience, how instant his obedience was, and how instant Jesus picked him up, it was because he stepped out. And Jesus stands there, and he says, come on. I'm picking you up and I'm helping you back into the boat. So we've got obedience and we've got focus. Then we've got doing the impossible. We've got the atmosphere changing. Peter's atmosphere in his life changed in that moment from being afraid he was going to die to actually being walking on the water towards Jesus and knowing that Jesus can cause any situation to become possible and any situation he can walk on because he has Jesus. So when we praise, we're obedient, we're focused on God. Even when we slip and we fall, he picks us up and we don't actually fall. And then we find an atmosphere changing. It can be an atmosphere around us. It can be a breakthrough of healing. It can be a resurrection. It can be different things, but it can also be that we really know Jesus in our hearts. And that's the prize. That's what you want more than anything. I was listening to a guy talking the other day, and he said, you know, we praise God because we want to know him and we want to be close to him. But we ultimately praise him because he's worthy and because him being in our hearts is what fulfills us. It's what we're designed for. We were designed to praise God. We were designed to know God. And when we know him, it fulfills us because it's what we were made for. And whether we're saying, this situation is hard, but I praise you, God, whether we're literally praising God, in either way, we know God deeply, and it is what fulfills us because it's what we were designed to do. And then we see that Peter and Jesus, they get back into the boat. So I'm going to go back over here. I think the boat's here. And as soon as they get back into the boat, the wind calms down and everything stops. And truly, when they went out on that boat, they knew something amazing was going to happen. But isn't it so often in our lives that the amazing that we imagine, God has something so much more? And it might seem stormy along the way, but the amazing that we imagine when God calls us, he does abundantly beyond what we could ask or imagine. when we praise him, when we keep our eyes focused on him. So the wind and the storm dies down, and all the guys who were in the boat, all the guys who weren't really sure whether they could get out, who weren't really sure what was going on, they all praised and worshipped Jesus. That last verse, it says, they praised and they worshipped God, and they said, truly, you are the Son of God. When we praise God in our situations, when the atmosphere changes, it causes other people to worship. It causes other people to praise him. It causes other people to give praise to God when in our situations we choose praise, we choose worship above all things. Another story that I want to look at just before we close is Paul and Silas in prison. Some of you will know this story, but I'm just going to give a bit of a backlog. So Paul and Silas, they were around after Jesus had gone back to heaven. And they came to know him powerfully by encounters with the Holy Spirit and with the risen Jesus. In their spirits, they came to know Jesus. And they were going around everywhere telling people this news about this amazing Jesus they had met. And one time they did this amazing miracle. They cast an evil spirit out of a girl and she was set free. But the people in that town didn't like it. There were certain reasons why, and they didn't like it. So they took them straight, they beat them, and they locked them up in prison. So we've been talking about a stormy sea, now we're talking about a prison. These aren't places where you would necessarily think to praise God, but we're going to see how we were designed to praise God, whatever situation we were in. So we're going to just read a couple of verses in Acts 16, 25 to 26. So at this stage, Paul and Silas are in the prison. And it says they're in the innermost part of the prison. There's no way they can escape. They're right inside, and their feet and their arms are locked. They're locked in chains or shackles or whatever they had. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Everyone's chains came loose and the foundations of the prison were shaken. And they were praising God. And I just felt like we're just to like sit with that for a while and look at maybe what prisons we feel like we're in our lives. Maybe some of us aren't, and that's really good. But I felt like there's some people here specifically who feel like you're in like an emotional prison, different kind of prisons, even a mental prison, thought patterns, physical prison, things that maybe I can't explain. And I feel like some of you have actually said, I feel like I'm in a prison. And if that's you, I'm just going to actually read that again. That's what I failed to do, just read it again. So they were inside a prison. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. So if I can invite the band back up, just to play and sing over us. And this is just really amazing that our praises can transform prisons, can cause prison cells to shake, can cause shackles and chains to fall off of us. And they were not maybe in the attitude of heart to praise, but they chose to be obedient and to praise God. They chose to sing and to praise. And the other thing I felt the Holy Spirit wanted us to know is it doesn't say anywhere in that passage that they sang well. It doesn't say anywhere in that passage that they were perfectly in tune, that they were harmonizing. That's all amazing. But it doesn't say that. And so I feel like if you feel like I would really like that, maybe there's like a call in your heart as I'm speaking that you want to praise, you want to sing out about some situation. You want to sing out about something that's bothering you. You want to be freed from that prison. But you feel like, oh, people tell me I can't sing. To God, your voice is beautiful. To God, that is irrelevant. It does not matter. It says they sang, they were obedient. And they focused, they fixed their eyes up on God. They didn't fix their eyes on how come we were obedient and we're in a prison. Just like Peter, how come I was obedient and I'm on a stormy sea? Even then, they chose to keep their focus on God. They trusted, if you told me to do this, If you told me to do this, you'll meet me there. That's what he said. That's what Peter said, and that's what Paul and Silas said. If you told me to do this, I'm going to praise you because I believe that you are enthroned on my praises. I believe when I praise you, everything falls apart from you. And when you are the one that is exalted, that's when things can move. That's when mountains can move. That's when situations can change. That's when our hearts can change. I feel like maybe we've been in places in our hearts for a long time, attitudes to something that we just feel like that's never going to change. And God's going to break that. He's going to break through. When we praise him, when we glorify him, when we don't care what anybody thinks or says. Paul and Silas didn't care that the other prisoners didn't see what was going on and didn't understand who they were praising. Their focus was on him. Peter didn't care that the disciples were saying, "Why have you stepped out of that boat?" He knew that he'd seen God. And when we're in worship and we know, even if it's just a sense that God's here, even if you don't know Jesus and you have a sense that God is here, and that's why you come in that gate, because you want to find out more, praise him with us. Praise him because he is enthroned on our praises. He comes and sits on our praises. He is glorified on our praises, in our praises. And when we do that, it changes the atmosphere. It changes who God says we are. When we exalt him, we know that we're chosen. When we exalt him, we can tell by the way he loves us, I'm chosen, I'm not ashamed, I'm loved. And that's really what I feel, that we just need to sing. We just need to sing. And we just need to be praying for these people. I'm just going to pray over us before we sing, that if you feel like you're in any of those situations, and even if you're in a really good situation, let's just pray blessing on praise in this church. Let's just pray blessing on what God's going to do. But if you feel like you're in that prison, we would love to pray for you. We would love to. There'll be people at the back, myself, Edgar, anybody you can ask to pray. But also, let's just bring it to God in praise. Let's start with that response of praising God, of saying, "God, you are glorified. God, you are worthy. I know you are unchanging. I know who I am, and my response is to praise you. My response is to glorify you." So let's just pray, "Jesus, come. Come in the fullness of your spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Break out in this place, God. Break out in this place and change atmospheres. Change atmospheres." I can see like dark clouds over some of us, and also when you're at home, like dark clouds over some of our heads, and they're not real, and they're not who you are. And as you praise God, I'm just seeing like just this rainbow just casting these clouds away, and the sun is just shining on you. And I believe you will feel that. So Jesus, come, come. And for God, for those who are imprisoned, for those who feel like they're imprisoned by doubt, by negativity, by circumstances, by anything, by physical health, God, any problems relationally, anything I haven't named, just you name it before God now. We lift these things to you, Jesus. And we pray, God, that these prisons that just feel so encompassing would be shaken in your name right now as we praise. And that chains would come off and that we would break free, God. We come before your altar now and we say, you are holy. Oh, what a savior. Aren't you wonderful? We sing hallelujah because you are risen, Jesus. You are risen, Jesus. May you be enthroned on our praises. May you be enthroned in our lives. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's just sing and worship God. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God.